Council, is it Mr. Johnson?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Blake Johnson, appearing today on behalf of the appellant, PSK LLC. This appeal involves the interplay between Nebraska's Liz Pendens statute and Nebraska's joinder statute. Now, the issue presented is whether the plaintiff's filing a notice of Liz Pendens relieves the plaintiff and the court from joining indispensable parties if their interest is known in the subject matter of the litigation, which in this case is property, real property. The court should conclude that it does not. PSK was not joined to the proceedings below.
What did the court say in this instance?
Judge Doyle with the district court found that PSK was, well, he found a number of reasons why they should not be joined. One was that they were not indispensable, and then you have to unpack that a little bit. Found that they weren't indispensable because they didn't have an interest in the property. Prior to the notice of Liz Pendens and the complaint being filed, PSK had executed a purchase agreement with the seller and had conveyed the earnest money deposit.
Unrecorded?
Excuse me?
Unrecorded?
An unrecorded purchase agreement, yes, Your Honor. Subsequent to the execution of that agreement, there was a complaint filed and a notice of Liz Pendens filed.
Because Wilkinson had done the same thing, correct?
Correct. The parties at that point essentially kind of stood in the same position. They both had purchase agreements and both felt they were entitled to the property.
Who was first?
Wilkinson had executed the purchase.
So are they in the same position?
Well, as far as an interest in the property, they first in time, I suppose, would prevail.
And then they filed the Liz Pendens.
Correct.
Which gave your client notice, correct?
That's correct.
So are you in the same position?
With respect to, I guess I'm not sure I understand the question, Your Honor. They may not be in the same position, Wilkinson versus PSK, as to their interest in the property. But it shouldn't lead to the conclusion that PSK has no interest in the property. That's the determination that needs to be made by the trial court after PSK is joined to the proceedings. And it was made in their absence.
Did you have an opportunity to join?
Certainly the PSK could have intervened or could have attempted to intervene. Intervention is still subject to some degree of scrutiny. And in this instance, it's plausible to think that the plaintiff would say that PSK was adequately represented because the issue that was being litigated, specific performance of the Wilkinson Ford and Ford contract, was being litigated by Ford and Ford, and therefore they were adequately represented in that regard. I can't say what the district court would have concluded, but PSK would have still had to overcome that hurdle. So they have the ability, although it's not an obligation, it's not mandatory that they intervene. Perhaps, for example, they could view the litigation.
Why would it then be mandatory for the court to make you a party if it's not mandatory for you to intervene?
The legislature has spoken on that issue, I believe, Your Honor. In 25.323, it says that they must be joined if you can't resolve the controversy and save their rights. So that's the distinction between necessary and indispensable. Necessary is somebody who's certainly interested in the property, but resolution can be had in their absence so long as the court saves their rights. Here, the court didn't save the rights of PSC. It ultimately determined that it had no rights, that its deed was void, and that it was a subsequent purchaser under the Liz Pendens statute. None of those decisions were made with PSK's participation in the litigation.
So with 25.531 says, as I know you are aware, every person whose conveyance or encumbrance is subsequently executed or subsequently recorded shall be deemed to be a subsequent purchaser or encumbrancer and shall be bound by all proceedings in the action, taken in the action after the filing of such notice to the same extent as if he or she were made a party to the action. Aren't you asking us to read that sentence out of the statute?
No, Your Honor. I'm asking for the court to balance that language with the language of 25.323, which says an indispensable party must be joined. So if their interest is known, condition that, if their interest is known. So the language that you're quoting from the Liz Pendens statute pertains, or its purpose, and we're supposed to consider its purpose and scope when interpreting it, is intended to protect people against secret liens, interests in the subject property that are unknown. Here,
what is the evidence in the record that Wilkinson knew about your transactions?
The initial complaint was filed, I believe, November 27th of 2019. In December 20th, there was an affidavit or a motion for a mandatory injunction. And it was filed, as it stated, for the specific reason of preventing Ford and Ford from conveying the property to PSK. That injunction was issued the same day, but after the PSK deed was filed. So there's an indication in the...
When was the Liz Pendens filed?
At the same time the original complaint was filed. And so there's a question, and to Your Honor's point, I believe, this is Appelli's argument that, and the district court, that knowledge for purposes of compulsory joinder is only, and property is only to be determined as of the moment the Liz Pendens is filed. But that's inconsistent with what this court has held in the past. There's no holding or no decision that I'm aware of where we have stated that it is measured at that moment. And if it's discovered later on, you can disregard it. In fact, in the Midwest Renewable Energy case, I believe the court was explicit that the evidence presented at summary judgment revealed the interest and was properly considered, or should have been considered by the court, to be an indication of the absent party's interest and therefore imputed knowledge to the plaintiff in the court, and therefore dismissal or vacation of that summary judgment order was proper. So again, I don't think that there's anything in the law that specifically says timing for purposes of knowledge, for purposes of compulsory joinder, is measured only as of the moment. In this case, they knew, both the court and the plaintiff knew, less than a month after the litigation began.
At the time that service of process was accomplished, what evidence is there, if any, that the plaintiff knew about your client?
I believe the record, the transcript in this case, would demonstrate when service of process was accomplished. I'm not aware offhand what date that was, but the service of the complaint and summons upon Ford and Ford, I'm not sure what day that was.
Thank you.
The other basis for, or at least I just want to make a quick point of, when a party enters into a contract for the conveyance of real estate, it's sort of an executory contract where there's obligations remaining on either side of the transaction. The court has held on a number of occasions it's essentially an equitable interest in the property or equitable title. So I think that's the interest that we're speaking of here. And when the court has talked about an interest in property for purposes of determining whether somebody is indispensable to a specific performance action, we've always spoken of it generally. Are they interested in the property? And then the facts sort of have to reveal whether that party is interested in the property. And here I think there's a clear indication that PSK had an interest. They had executed the contract. They had conveyed earnest money, and they had had a deed conveyed to them before Ford and Ford was ever enjoined from doing it. So what the effect of those transactions are, I think, must be determined by the trial court, but not in PSK's absence. There are no further questions. We'd ask that the court reverse the district court's decision to deny the motion to vacate and remand with instructions to join PSK and allow us to participate. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Fugate, good morning to you.
May it please the court, my name is Al Fugate. I represent the Appalachian Wilkinson Development, Inc. The appellee requests this court to affirm the decision of the trial court, which denied PSK's motion to vacate a decree of specific performance in favor of Wilkinson, and denied PSK's motion to be joined as a party, which was based upon PSK being determined to be a subsequent purchaser under the Liz Pendle statute. The standard of review for an order denying vacation of the decree is that the order should be affirmed in the absence of an abuse of discretion. The facts of this case are that in August of 2019, Wilkinson Ford entered into a purchase agreement for Wilkinson to buy the Lexington Sonic property for $325,000. H.O. Smith Company was named as the escrow closing agent, and Natalie Martinez was the dual real estate agent and transaction. Ford refused to close that transaction, so on November 25th, 2019, Wilkinson filed a complaint for specific performance against Ford in the District Court of Dawson County, Nebraska.
Is there anything in the record about why Ford refused?
There is. Wilkinson had exercised its right to extend the closing date from November 20th to December 4th.
That was in the contract.
Pardon me?
That was in the contract.
Yes. He exercised his right to do that. Ford was unhappy about doing that, and Ford refused to close. He sent an email and said, we wish to consider the contract null and void. So the next day on November 26th, after the suit was filed, 2019, Wilkinson filed a notice of Liz Pendle in the Register of Deeds. And on December 6th, 2019, we caught up with Mr. Ford in Texas, and he was served. So that's when service of summons was completed. Unknown to Wilkinson during that time, PSK, Ford, and the dual real estate agent, Natalie Martinez, entered into agreement where Natalie Martinez became the dual real estate agent for Ford and PSK. Ford and PSK secretly entered into an agreement for PSK to buy the property for $365,000.
Does it matter to our analysis at all that the second purchase agreement was entered into a few days before the Liz Pendle?
No, it does not. That argument doesn't, that dog doesn't hunt. The court already decided Brown versus Jacobson, and that was the same position the state of Nebraska was. Brown versus Jacobson, they had a purchase agreement, but their deed was recorded subsequent to the notice of Liz Pendle in that case, and this court found the state of Nebraska to be a subsequent purchaser in that case. So that argument is no avail to the
appellate. Is there evidence in the record that your client knew about the PSK?
The district court found that it was overwhelmingly set forth in the record that Wilkinson had no knowledge of the activities of PSK, Natalie Martinez, or Ford with regard to the PSK agreement until the deed that PSK recorded from Ford was recorded on December 19th, 2019, which was after the Liz Pendle.
And after service
was made.
What was the date of the affidavit that your opponent referred to?
At some point when Ford was refusing to close, and we didn't understand why he was refusing to close, one of the things that one would think of is, well, what's he doing? Does he have a different deal? So we came into the district court and said, hey, we have a contract, we have a suit, we have a Liz Pendle. Please enjoin Mr. Ford from doing anything. And before that happened, they recorded the deed from Ford to PSK.
What was the date on that affidavit? I'm sorry. That was a
question. I don't have that right in front of me, but it was after the suit, after the Liz Pendle, after service of summons. And I think it was after the deed was recorded. So this case involves the interplay between the Nebraska Liz Pendant statute, the specific statute that deals with disputes governing real estate, and the general intervention statute. The Liz Pendant statute is 25531, the intervention statute is 25328, and the general joinder statute, which is 25323.
I sense an argument coming that the specific prevails over the general.
I think that it does, Your Honor. And the way the Liz Pendant statute operates is a subsequent purchaser who is not known to the plaintiff at the time of the recording of the notice is bound by all proceedings taken in the action after the filing of that notice to the same extent as if it is made a party. Its interest is determined by the decree. And that's how this court has interpreted this case and how it's been discussed in the Munger case in 1907, in the Hadley case in 1939, and in the Brown case in 2017. That's the plain language of the statute. No joinder is required at that point. Well, subsequent purchaser, are they without remedies? No, they're not. One of the purposes of the Liz Pendant statute is to provide them notice so that they have the opportunity to come in and make themselves a party. That's the Munger case. And they also have a right under the intervention statute, as this court has determined in Brown versus Jacobson, to intervene and make themselves a party and stand in the shoes of the defendant Ford. So the third thing then is a person who is known to the plaintiff at the time of the recording of Liz Pendant is not a subsequent purchaser under the Liz Pendant statute. They must be joined under the joinder statute as a necessary or indispensable party. And that's the Munger case again. That's the person who is the mortgagor in possession of the property at the time of the commencement of the suit. And the court Munger says, you knew
so
about
that
it.
That seems to be a significant factual determination here, which
yes.
The district court judge made in your favor. What is our review of that factual determination?
Well, what the court decided is not to vacate the decree, and that's based on an abuse of discretion standard. So in this case, the court determined PSK.
You would agree that if we were reviewing the decree of specific performance, that would be de novo on the record, but we could, but not be required to give weight to the trial court's consideration.
Well, the decree was entered, has never been appealed from. So what's before the court now is a denial of the motion to vacate. Okay. So the court determined PSK was a subsequent purchaser, and as a result, a subsequent purchaser like PSK acquires no interest in the real estate against the title of Wilkinson. It's bound by all proceedings taken in a decree, and any interest that it has is bound by the decree. So it's not a necessary or indispensable party because the Liz Pendant statute operates on it, and they acquire no interest in the real estate as against the plaintiff. That interest is separable, so the court can, without injustice, affect that interest in PSK's absence. They're not indispensable because they don't acquire any interest against the plaintiff Wilkinson, and the Liz Pendant statute allows that interest to be determined in that case.
I do want to follow up. I understand your argument that the standard of review on the decision regarding the motion to vacate is for abuse of discretion. But the chief had asked you a question with respect to the factual finding that was made. What is the standard of deference that we give such a factual finding in that situation?
Well, if it were on appeal, I think it would be de novo on the record.
But we could give weight to what the trial court.
I believe that's correct, Your Honor.
So would your view be, even if that were the standard in reviewing the factual findings, it leads to the same result?
It does.
Okay.
Yes. If the court were to accept PSK's construction, it would basically nullify the Liz Pendant statute. It would take away the line in the sand that the legislature has drawn to where the court retains jurisdiction of the property under the Liz Pendant statute. And the purpose of the Liz Pendant statute is to prevent third persons like PSK during the pendency of the litigation from acquiring an interest in the real estate, which would preclude the court from granting the relief sought in that case. And by such third persons like PSA coming in now and saying, hey, after it's all done, you should join us. The Liz Pennant statute holds that real estate in the jurisdiction of the district court until the rights of parties are finally determined.
I beg your pardon. This is Justice Miller-Lerman. Are you saying that on this record, PSK did or did not acquire an interest in the property subsequent to the litigation?
It, under the Liz Pennant statute, it acquires no interest in the real estate as against the title of Wilkinson. But there was a deed recorded after the notice of Liz Pennant's. So
what do we, by what standard do we say acquires an interest? What does that phrase mean? Did PSK get something prior to the filing of the lawsuit in Liz Pennant?
PSK is a subsequent purchaser under Liz Pennant statute, and what it has is it has a right to come in and intervene or make itself a party and stand in the shoes of the defendant and assert its claim under the contract that it has. If you agree with PSK, that opens the door to serial conveyances, because if we had moved to join PSK, before that would get heard, PSK could convey to Smith. Smith could convey to Jones. Jones could convey to Brown. And the court would, if they were required to join subsequent purchasers after the notice, you'd be forever chasing subsequent purchasers to try and acquire jurisdiction. And the purpose of the Liz Pennant statute is to hold that property in a jurisdiction of the court so you don't have to do that. And that was the same problem the legislature fixed in 1887 when it changed the having to have the summons served to you can record a notice, so that back then, if you had to serve them with summons, here comes the sheriff, they'll convey away. And the legislature said, we're not going to do that. We're going to record a notice, and that's the line in the sand. And if you acquire an interest afterwards, you get no interest, but you can intervene under the Liz Pennant statute. And that's what Munger says back in 1906. If there's any other questions, I'd be happy to try and answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal. Counsel, that concludes arguments in Wilkinson Development Inc. versus Ford and Ford Investments. And that concludes arguments for the day. The court is adjourned and you are excused.